Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 21 to 37. If you took the time to read this before worship, you may have looked at it and said, I don't know who's preaching today, but I'm wondering what she's going to do with this. 2 weeks ago, we heard the beautiful and familiar words of the Beatitudes, which serve as the opening verses of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the peacemakers, the meek, and the merciful, for theirs is the kingdom of God. But Jesus' sermon does not end there. The Sermon on the Mount occupies three full chapters of the Gospel of Matthew. It is the longest continuous teaching from Jesus in the New Testament. The sermon also includes Jesus' inspiring and timeless call for us to be the salt of the earth, to not hide our light under a bushel, to love our neighbor as ourselves, and to turn the other cheek in the face of persecution. Now today we hear the final and much more difficult part of Jesus' sermon. This is the part where he takes the Ten Commandments and ratchets them up several notches. This is where he says it's not enough to refrain from committing murder or bearing false witness, because the mere presence of anger or deceit in our heart is as equally damning in the eyes of God. And this is where Jesus talks about marital issues like adultery and divorce and speaks out against them in a way that we might call very unforgiving and very un-Jesus-like. In other words, this is a part of the Sermon on the Mount that we may prefer to skip over or dismiss as a relic of an ancient time or place. But as we keep saying, context matters. Taken at face value, this is a very difficult passage to listen to. But if we know anything about Scripture and about Jesus, we know that taking either one out of their time and their place opens up the possibility of misunderstanding and misinterpretation. So as we listen to this passage from the Sermon on the Mount and hear words that may stir up some painful emotions in our own hearts, I encourage you to pay attention to the invitation behind the words. Keeping in mind that Jesus' focus was always on healing relationships, on healing the divisions that rise up between us. So let's listen to the words of Jesus from the Gospel of Matthew and listen also for the word of God.
You have heard that it was said to those in ancient times, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with your brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to counsel. And if you say, you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before you go to the altar. And first be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows as you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is the footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one.
So how many of you right about now are wishing that Jesus had wrapped up his Sermon on the Mount after the Beatitudes? Or ended it with the part about us being the light of the world, shining like a beacon on a hill for all to see? And we've all sat through sermons where the preacher had a perfect ending point, a perfect exit ramp, right in front of him, yet he sailed right on by it and went on talking for yet another 20 minutes. Taking us down a convoluted road we really didn't feel a need to go down, leaving us lost or bored or angry or annoyed as we check our watches and mutter to ourselves, Jesus, when is he going to stop talking? I can only imagine the comments that Jesus got from folks as they filtered past him after he delivered that Sermon on the Mount. Nice sermon, Rabbi. I liked the part about the blessings, but the part about cutting off our body parts, not so much. Or, teacher, I appreciate your thoughts about adultery and divorce with you being a man of God and all, but you're 30 years old and you've never been married. What do you know about intimate relationships? Or perhaps he even heard this. Master, I carry such anger in my heart towards the one that I cannot even begin to forgive. The one who abused me. The one who assaulted me. The one who murdered the one I love. Are you saying that God will stand in judgment of me for not seeking reconciliation with this person, especially when they've shown no remorse? Where is God's mercy and compassion and justice in this? Adultery and anger and divorce and slander. These are just a few of the harsh and hard realities of being human that Jesus calls out in his Sermon on the Mount. They weave their way through our lives, through our families and communities, and through the stories we hear and gravitate towards in our news and entertainment. And at the root of all of these harsh realities of life, we find division. A pushing or pulling or breaking apart of our human relationships. We get angry at one another, and sometimes that anger drives us to lash out in hurtful or irrational ways that we may not have thought we were capable of. And we lose faith in one another, and sometimes that loss of trust pulls us away and drives us apart, breaking a bond, a relationship that we may have once thought was unbreakable. Now, it's tempting to see Jesus' Sermon on the Mount as a list of rules, of do's and don'ts, of thou shalt nots given by God, in the same vein as Moses delivering the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not be angry with one another. Thou shalt not cultivate lust for another. Thou shalt not spread falsehoods about another. Thou shalt not tear asunder what God has joined together. And if we reduce Jesus' words to a list of bad things not to do, thinking that if we just stick to the list, then we will be right with God, what we are in effect doing is trying to cure a disease by treating the symptoms. There are a multitude of ways that we fail to love, honor, and care for one another. It's not the how that's important, it's the why. Now, in wrestling with a text like this one, we could go down the list and review the historical and cultural context for each of these thou shalt nots that Jesus names here, to understand that his restrictions or tightening of the rules might not be as harsh as they sound in our time to our ears, especially when it comes to the subject of divorce. And it's important to clarify that divorce was not prohibited in the Old Testament. It was permitted under Jewish law. But the law that Jesus references here is from the book of Deuteronomy, where it says a man may divorce his wife if he finds some indecency in her or if she simply fails to please him. Which then leads us to wonder if tightening the restrictions around divorce was Jesus' attempt to rein in the men who might otherwise divorce arbitrarily, while simultaneously he was helping the women who were often left homeless and penniless and nameless as a result. So divorce, adultery, anger, and slander. We could take the time to go down this list of shall nots and explore each one in context. But Jesus could have just as easily named four other ways that we treat one another badly. Because the point is not how the brokenness in our relationships manifests itself, but rather it's the division in our hearts that Jesus compels us to attend to. Now, the Reverend Joy J. Moore, who is a seminary professor and Methodist pastor, shares a story about a member of her congregation who volunteered to preach on a Sunday when Reverend Moore would be away on vacation. A week before the woman was due to preach, she came to Reverend Moore and said, "I don't think I can do this." The previous Sunday, the gospel text read in worship was this same passage from Matthew, where Jesus says, "When you offer your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift." Now, the woman had taken these words of Jesus to heart. She had long been at odds with another member of the congregation. And the depth of their disagreement and disdain for one another was very public knowledge. She felt like she couldn't preach the gospel when she wasn't living it herself. Reverend Moore assured her that none of us can claim to be living the gospel in the way that Jesus lived it. Not even ordained ministers can claim that. So taking this into consideration, the woman agreed to go ahead with her plans to preach. So the following Sunday, as she stepped up into the pulpit, she prefaced her sermon with a prayer. And then she publicly named and looked directly at the person with whom she had a long-standing disagreement. And with tears in her eyes, she said, "I can't do this. I can't offer a word of hope at this altar if I'm not right with you. If our relationship is not reconciled, because this is what Jesus calls us to do." Reverend Moore said that this moment changed the entire congregation. Not just because the reconciliation of these two long-standing members led to greater harmony within the church, but because the healing began with one woman publicly modeling her commitment to living out the teachings of Christ. There are times we hear Jesus' words in scripture readings and in sermon interpretations, and we think they're meant for someone else, not us, especially if we're carrying anger on our heart. We sit there and think, "Well, I sure hope so-and-so is hearing this." But this woman in Reverend Moore's congregation saw herself in Jesus' words, and she took them to heart, and she acted on them. And Reverend Moore says her entire church was transformed as a result, because they had seen the gospel come alive right before their eyes. Now, as powerful as stories like this one are, the reality is that we are not going to reconcile every broken relationship that exists in our lives. And Jesus is not saying we need to. He's also not saying that we can never be angry or never call someone else "you fool." Most of us break that rule in the first few hours of our day, as soon as we get behind the wheel of our car or turn on the morning news. Remember that Jesus begins this Sermon on the Mount with the Beatitudes, his description of the kingdom of God that is to come, a world that will look very different from the one that we live in now, where the meek and the merciful and the peaceful will all be blessed. And Jesus continues his description of God's kingdom to come here, as he paints a picture of a world where all of our broken relationships will be reconciled and every division will be healed. And there is much that divides us in this world: religion and politics and economics and culture, ideological worldviews that at times seem so different and so at odds with one another that we may as well be living in different realities. We may wonder how we will ever close the big divides that exist between us, and we struggle to close even the small ones. The good news that Jesus gives us is that sometimes we do take his words to heart and set aside our pride and our prejudice in an effort to heal what is broken, while also knowing that when it comes to human relationships, sometimes the only way to find healing is to let it go and walk away. I like to believe that Jesus preached the Beatitudes and then sailed past that convenient exit point that he provided as an end to this Sermon on the Mount, because he hadn't yet gotten to the heart of what he wanted to say. In the blessings, he embraced the marginalized, and he empowered the powerless, and he justified the justice seekers. His message had all the makings of an inspiring, feel-good sermon, the one we all long to hear after enduring a week of not-so-feel-good messages out there. But Jesus knew nothing will change in the world out there until we change what we have in here. And it begins with our willingness to reconcile what we can, and our willingness to let go of what we cannot. Knowing that in God's world, all things are possible. And all that is broken will one day be made whole. Thanks be to God, and amen.